Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. What happened while I was gone? Like, I'm looking on the board here, and I'm seeing all kinds of, like, different drops that I'd never seen before. What happened while I was gone? What is,
like, I went into it thinking I had to bang it hard, but it's a slight bang.
What was that?
Yeah.
What are, like, we doing here?
I feel a butt coming, man.
Excuse me.
Young Ty was reckless around this thing, man.
What were you guys even talking about?
He had me all bothered, man. You know what I'm saying? He was agitated.
The backhanded bang, and I'm sitting there banging it.
Phrasing?
More banging?
Oh, it was a hot sausage.
I'm going to need you to explain all of this to me right now. What did you do with our show?
First of all, he broke our gong.
I heard about that too.
Disrespectful on the gong.
I heard this.
Audio foul. See what happens when you take all that creatine? You know, that's what happens when you got a young 31-year-old whippersnapper that's going to Retro Fitness every day trying to get ready for spring break.
Retro Fitness?
Listen, that is a Jersey-born brand.
I've heard of it. I'm just saying, it's just funny that's his thing. He goes,
and
the
then
retro
the colors are like the Hulk Hogan colors, too. It's like red and yellow.
So is it like – is so what was it? Planet Fitness has the lunk alarm, Retro Fitness. If you're not a lunk, there's an alarm.
It's like, you can yell once in Retro Fitness, but Steve Weatherford did get kicked out of Retro Fitness.
He got kicked out of Retro Fitness,
yes,
too?
Yes, they asked
I thought Retro Fitness, like, they want you wearing the leggings with, like, the flames coming up the side.
It sounds like
it's
right?
It
sounds
heavy metal band.
It sounds like Retro Fitness, you can wear the same attire that they used to wear at Gold's Gym with the nipples be out, like, with the little skinny shirt.
Yeah, just with the low. Take scissors to a T-shirt and throw it on.
Yeah, but I guess it's not. Now, they're not quite as bad as Planet Fitness that has pizza and bagel day, which is basically trying to give you comfort food. Like, hey, it's okay. We're all a little fat. Just come here.
These are calories. They're okay for you. Don't be
You're carb loading before your cardio.
Right.
Like, what? Like, is that a blueberry bagel with cream cheese?
Okay. Do 10 minutes on the elliptical. It'll all burn off. Tell yourself that.
Yeah, man. So you know, he was jacked up on Mountain Dew, and maybe he was a little excited, man. But yeah, he definitely, you know, messed up the gong. So, you know, we had some interesting moments.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I mean, we had to argue. We argued all day about the No Bulls tour, which led to something totally different.
I didn't hear it, so tell me what your take is on the No Bulls tour.
Well, the No Bulls tour. He was trying to tell me. I was trying to tell him that Dennis Rodman was just as important to the dynasty, the third dynasty that the Bulls had, as Draymond Green.
Second dynasty.
As to Draymond Green. And then I had to enlighten him that saying, hey, man, like, to me, my opinion, Dennis is a better player.
And he disagreed with that?
Well, he said, okay, well, maybe he's a better player, but he's not more important to those dynasties, because I added the Pistons dynasty, too. To that dynasty as Draymond, and I argue that, hey, they probably would have won two titles if Kevin Durant was on that team, whether he was there or not. I don't know if the Bulls win without Dennis because he replaced Horace Grant.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, but
I do. I think you're absolutely – I think Dennis Rodman is one of the most underappreciated players because he was so notorious about everything else.
Yeah, he's Russell. He's Bill Russell.
See, just when I'm starting to agree with you, you're gonna go Bill Russell. I'm gonna get Peter Vesey to come on the show one day and just tear you to shreds about the Bill Russell comparison to Dennis Rodman.
If Dennis Rodman would have played there, he would have been the same player. Grabbing rebounds, checking Wilt Chamberlain.
I'm not taking the bait.
Their game is the same.
I just got back, and you're not going to just put me in a bad mood.
Well, what really got Ty is he didn't realize that in a three-point world where the game is wide open and it's not a place where you're getting clothesline going to the hole,
right?
Dennis Rodman is only 100 points less than Draymond Green.
Yeah, I don't. My argument isn't with that with you. Like that, you're that going forward to me is, I think it's a good comp.
He's one of the
you know what I mean. I think Dennis Rodman and Draymond Green impact on two legendary championship runs. I think they're pretty much equal.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, Ben Wallace. Like, come on, man.
Like, yeah, no.
Ben Wallace. It's not just a rebounder, defender, tough guy.
Yeah, I mean, he still was
But he wasn't a part of a dynasty.
No,
I'm surprised that Ben Wallace is in the Hall of Fame. To be honest,
I wouldn't be surprised by that. He was one of the great defensive players in history.
Yeah, but Hall of Fame. I think the NBA, because it's the Basketball Hall of Fame and not the NBA Hall of Fame, is real lenient with letting certain guys in. Like certain guys, like Antonio Gates did not go into the Hall of Fame this year, and he's arguably the best tight end ever in the history of football.
Mm-hmm.
But then Ben Wallace, you probably would put him not in the top 100 as far as top 100 greatest players to ever play the game, but he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but there's more than 100 players in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I get it. But you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't put him in the top 150.
But there's more than 150 players in the Hall of Fame.
But what I'm saying is I wouldn't put him in – as far as the Hall of Fame, he'd probably be the one right before the Hall of Fame. He'd be the last one.
I would argue generationally, during his career, he was one of the most impactful NBA players in the league. I think it's fair to say. And if you were that during your time, which is a guy that went to the Final Four eight straight seasons, got to two finals because of his defensive prowess and his impact on the game and in winning, I think you have to accept all of that.
But, like, I wouldn't put him in the same class as Dikembe Mutombo, Alonzo Mourning. Like, those were better.
How many finals did those guys get to?
How many championships did they win? But that's all.
But that does matter.
Well, Mourning has one, and Mutombo went to one.
Okay. One.
But Mutombo was, in my opinion, Mutombo was a much better player.
But what you're doing, though, is like suggesting that.
It's certain guys in the Hall of Fame that shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
You're making it where it's like you're supposed to be like it's
he was just an okay player.
But he was great at what he did though.
If we were going for football metrics, like okay, he would be Matthew Slater, who'll probably go into Hall of Fame as a special team player. Because he's arguably one of the greatest special team players, which you look
special
at.
Special teams is still important, okay? But,
yes.
But I also think as you're dealing with five players on a court versus 11. Mm-hmm. So you can't, like, again, I don't know if you can go apples and oranges. I think your mentality has to change from sport to sport. Mariano Rivera. He pitched one inning a game.
Yeah, but he was the greatest at what he did. Ben Wallace was one of the greatest of all time. I can name much better defensive players than him.
Go ahead. Well, please, we have 3 hours. Go.
Well, Mutombo, Alonzo Mourning.
I don't know. Could Mutombo go out and guard twos? Could he switch in a pick and roll and then just keep you out in front? And then have the length to close out?
Ben was okay at that. He wasn't great at that, and the game was different. You always had a big out there, two bigs out there. He wasn't out there on an island, you know what I'm saying, like Draymond.
No, they didn't run pick and roll nearly as much, but if he had to switch on to Kobe, could he?
Kobe ate his ass up.
Didn't, if you remember.
This is what I would say. In my opinion, the fact and why I think Ben shouldn't be there is because Rasheed Wallace isn't in the Hall of Fame. He was probably one of the most talented players in the history of basketball.
His defense, smart scoring.
Yep.
Also, probably the best big man who could shoot threes.
Outside of Kevin McHale and Hakeem Olajuwon, I would say he had the best low post game in the history of basketball.
Great footwork. And he also could step out and shoot a three. He was a terrific 3-point shooter for a guy who was 6'11".
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wasn't a typical 6'11 guy.
Yeah, not in the Hall. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But he never won defensive player of the year.
But he won the same championship
he was a big piece of that team.
He was the biggest piece. They weren't complete until they brought him over.
I know. I don't know what it was with him, like overall-wise, But it's probably because he never really was a 25 to, you know, 20 point. Like, he didn't average 20 in one season.
But he could have.
Not one season in his career did he average 20.
But he could have.
Well, you say he could have, but he didn't. His three-point shooting became a bigger asset for him later in his career. Early on, it really wasn't a big part of the story, and maybe that's what it was. Early in his career in Portland, he was sort of just like a post-up big man.
Yeah, because that's what the game was. Like, mm-hmm. To me, like, Rasheed Wallace is one of the most skilled, best players I've ever seen.
I'm not denying that he's a talent. I wouldn't put him as the most skilled.
I mean, Washington Wizards, Ben Wallace was good, man.
Wasn't good?
No. Washington Wizards, Ben Wallace was on the island, gave you nothing as far as points.
But that's, again, finding what somebody does, accentuating it, using it as a weapon, and turning it into a guy.
And I hate turning this into a I hate Ben Wallace thing.
No, you don't hate Ben Wallace.
I love Ben Wallace.
I know you don't. I know you do. But I'm not, like, first of all,
like to me, if Anthony Mason,
first 3 years in the league,
Anthony
was
Mason
with
Washington, or Oakley,
by the way, he didn't play a ton. Like,
is Oakley in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Then Ben Wallace should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. Charles Oakley was never in the MVP conversation. He was never Defensive Player of the Year at least one time, whereas Ben Wallace was four times, and he was runner up a fifth time. Like, you know, like, that's, come on. Like, that's not, it's not even comparable.
Because that's all he did.
What do you mean it's all he did? It's
he didn't
not
try to
all
do nothing else.
It's not.
He's like a 50% free throw shooter, if that.
All right. Can you guess to me how many rebounds a game he would average during his prime?
I would probably say 15.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot, man. For a guy who was, 6'8" at best?
Not when you're not trying to shoot. You know what I'm saying? That's all you do.
Yeah, he didn't take a lot of shots a game. he didn't.
What else he doing? He looking for the ball to go up. He ain't looking like, throw me the ball. He know they ain't throwing the ball. First, the ball go up, he crashing the board.
I'll give you this, too. For a guy that was pretty much around the basket his whole career, to not shoot over 50%.
Right.
Like, that's what I'll give you. But I'm not taking away the defensive impact.
I got you. So tell me this.
All right.
Ron Artest?
Meta?
Better defensive player.
Again, they played in the same era. How many times was he Defensive Player of the Year? This guy was four-time Defensive Player of the Year.
That's because people hated him.
In the league.
That's because people hated him.
No.
Okay, so Rudy Gobert is going to the Hall of Fame.
Yes, he is.
Wow.
He is. He is.
Is he going to the French Hall of Fame, or is he going to the Basketball Hall of Fame?
Well, Basketball Hall of Fame is the whole world, by the way.
Oh, okay.
It is. It does include international players.
I thought France would have had their own.
Well, they might. I don't know. If they do, they do. No idea.
Is Julius Randle going to the Hall of Fame?
Three-time
is he going to the Raptors?
All-star. Probably not as a three-time All-Star.
Because I got a little concern, man.
What's your concern?
Looks like they're not in Boston's league, man. And I don't know if adding Randle or OG changes that. Boston looks like they're a totally different level than the Knicks.
Boston looks like they're at a totally different level than every team in the NBA. Number one, they're remarkably healthy.
Well, Milwaukee looked pretty
damn good. No, Milwaukee does not look good. Milwaukee looks good against Philadelphia, who sucks right now.
What about against the Wolves?
The Timberwolves?
Yeah.
They're a team that you never know what you're going to get on a given night. Minnesota is a weird team right now, because they're really, really good.
They're second.
Yeah, I know. I just said they're really, really good. But their defense is great, but they are very similar to a lot of different teams too. When you have a great defense, your offense, though, at sometimes will come and go. Like that, and that's been their issue. They rely a lot on threes. The Boston Celtics have the best starting five in the league. They average 92 points a game as a starting five. That's insane. 92. They have 116 against the Knicks on Saturday. 96, I believe, were from the starting five. 96 points. Like, and the Knicks, by the way, are missing two starters that can give you 20. So you're never going to be on a level with a team when you go into the game with those odds. There was nothing to be gained from Saturday's game, my opinion. Going into the game, I was saying that. Anybody that I talk to about that game, and they're like, what do you think? Oh, it's a big test tonight. No, it's not. It's not a test. The only thing that can come of this game is if the Knicks pull out a win, I'd have questions about the Celtics because they're so notorious about playing with their food.
LeBron,
that's what I would do.
LeBronless Lakers was able to figure it out. Knicks haven't been able to crack that nut.
That was my point. The LeBronless Lakers beat them in Boston because the Celtics didn't take them seriously. His typical Celtics not getting up for a game. Their fan base was livid after that loss. The Lakers subs just came. Yeah, they didn't
the
get
Lakers?
Up for a game because there was no AD and no LeBron. That's what that game was about, and that's the problem with the Celtics is when they get to the playoffs, will they do this again like they always do, where they make it harder than they need to? That's why they had to win that game Saturday night, and they did so in the fashion they did. And the Knicks' problem is, let's say we get to a point, and that's why I'm telling you, the standings matter right now. It's 25 games to go. The standings matter right now because you can't worry about catching this. You're not catching the Celtics. It's not happening. But you don't want to face them until the conference finals. And so that means you've got to make sure you get to two or the three spot, which is still within reach. But can you get there while you're still missing these guys? Because what you want to see is the farthest away to face the Celtics is the conference finals. That's what you want to do. And by then, Randall healthy, OG healthy, maybe even Mitchell Robinson healthy. Then do you have enough to take on a team with as I think Porzingis is the guy you have no answer for, Bart.
Do you have an answer for Brook Lopez?
Who? Have you watched Brook Lopez play lately?
I'm just saying, what I'm talking about is
Watch Brook Lopez play. He's not the Brook Lopez he used to be. Want to get that real quick? 800-919-3776 is the number.
Stops, man.
We'll get to call. I know your business just keeps moving.
No.
So does this show. But we'll get calls rolling here, and we should. Because you're pushing me on Knicks stuff right now, and I'm telling you, I took nothing from the game Saturday.
I was excited, man.
You're not in full. How could you be excited? You're not at full.
I know that.
You're not at full go. You're not. So this you can't look at it as, well, this is what it'll look like in the playoffs. It will look nothing like that. Nothing. Now, my bigger issue in that game was the fact that Bojan Bogdanović and Alec Burks were acquired to help you get some type of secondary scoring. Like when the benches come in, those guys come in, especially a guy like Bogdanović, come in, make shots, right? Those two guys were abysmal, couldn't make a shot. And it really hurt them. It set them back. Because those
guys, after going for six threes. Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he was 1 for 4, but the bigger issue was Burks was like, he was like 1 for 7. So you go 2 for 11. The rest of the team shot 40% from three. These two guys just couldn't make a shot. And so they come in, and you're getting nothing out of that, which is why you made the trade. You made the trade so that you would get something out of what those guys give. And you didn't get it. And that so if there was one thing, if you want to find a criticism from me, that was it. Those guys have got to be better because you're not going to survive this run, this little stretch here. You're not going to survive this and stay in the top four waiting for OG and Randall to get back. You're not going to do it if these guys aren't going to play consistently and score, which is the reason why they're here. So that was my concern. I was thinking to myself, these two come in and they know, all right, this is a big game. All right, let's step it up. Let's put up a fight. They didn't have a single guy over 20. Yeah. Only guy, Josh Hart at 18. DiVincenzo struggled with his shooting. Brunson was typical brilliant Brunson.
Start putting the clamps on? Like it was all
he did
good.
Not. He had 34 points and 9 assists.
It was
what clamps?
It was all gangster. Like coming out, both teams was on fire. Just like it's like Boston just wore their ass down, man.
No, and they outshot them. Did you see the 3-point shooting? It was off the charts. That game was a close game until the three started raining in the third quarter. Then it was 20.
Yes, the third. That's what
it was. A tie score at 66.
But that's what I said.
Yeah, and then they started knocking down three. They didn't clamp anything. They just started making threes, and then the Knicks started trying to keep up with the threes, and they couldn't make a shot.
Then the turnovers came.
Some of them were really bad turnovers.
I know.
They were bad turnovers.
It was just like a 4 to 6 point lead just ballooned to 13. Yeah.
The way they could shoot that three, if you get a bad possession, they come down and they find that open three, and it's just brutal. And that's the other issue is the poor matching up that led to open threes. Those are killers, the open threes.
This was home cooking too, man. I don't know. I'm just concerned.
Like I said, I'm not buying this as a litmus test game. I'm not. Now, man, you, anybody
gonna,
else out there want
to? You're going to hit me with the juice with Julius Randle running around like Mook Mouth from Fat Albert with the hat that, rolled up.
Yeah, I found that to be interesting. That was a bit of a show. You know, yeah. I think they wanted to get him out there, and I don't put it on Julius. I think they wanted to put him out there and let everybody kind of see him moving around and, like, get that image of, you know, look, it was ABC audience, national audience, so you knew the cameras were rolling. And you just kind of get Julius out there and show that he's running and looking closer, even though the ball was only in his left hand. I don't know if you saw any of
Did
you notice that he never raised the right arm at all?
Yeah, like, come on, man. If you're feeling good, man, then you should at least be able to put your hand over you.
Yeah, you don't see him. He's certainly not going to dunk the basketball. But you don't see him just doing his typical shots and stuff. I did not see him raise the right arm up at all. So they're being, as they should, they're being really careful. And they have to be. Because, look, you said it. You knew the OG Anunoby injury, and you knew the treatment. You knew the surgery. You knew it all. You called the whole thing. So you've been right on him. And what did you tell me before the show about OG? How much more time?
Well, four weeks, then you reassess, and then you got to be able to shoot and then see if it still swells because irritation and stuff in there. Because remember, they went in there with a scope and they were poking around and moving stuff, so you get inflammation. Inflammation inside of joints and stuff and ligaments don't go – like, we think a month is a long time in sports. It's not a long time in real life.
That's a good point. It goes by in a blink. It just
did. It's a month.
Yeah. Think about it. March is the end of this week. Isn't that crazy? March is the end of this week.
March Madness, and this is the dash. This is what you get nervous about, like, because you hope the other teams behind you or above you don't start. It seems like every day I'm looking at the Cavaliers and see what they're doing. Right? Did they lose? Did they lose? Are they good? Mm. What's going on? I'm looking at Indiana. Like, okay, what happened with them?
Yeah, they actually had a good win over Dallas last night. But looking at the standings, you got to stay. What?
Tell me, does Julius Randle hat, did it look more like Dumb Donald or did it look like Moosh Mouth from Fat Albert?
Hey, my Fat Albert.
I want to watch the game again or the warm-ups, and I want to take a Google image so I can find that hat. Because that wasn't no regular hat, man. That's like a Dumb Donald hat, man. Like, he could have rolled that down. It would have covered his whole neck.
Killing me, man. Killing me. But I thought it was funny that he was
out there working out like he was in the longest yard, man?
Well, I want to ask
he's out there like Michael Irvin on the longest yard.
Was it that hot in the gym? Like, he was drenched.
That's because he had that big-ass hat on.
It was good to see that he got a sweat going.
He had jogging pants on.
I love that he took the shirt off like it was Tim Tebow.
Right, for somebody to spray him down. Right. Like if it's cool enough to take the – if it's hot enough to take the shirt off, why wouldn't you take the hat off first and then the shirt should stay on?
Retain the heat. Keep it all in, man.
Ribble, bobble, ribble, rock.
You're killing me with this right now. But it was – I do think there was a little bit of show to that, just to kind of like, let's show Randle. Like, we're getting closer. They want to put some optimism out there that –
Look at the shape he's in.
To see him, that's important. Like I said, I think getting Anunoby back sooner rather than later is more – to me, the more critical piece to get back, because I feel like Randle – I just think there's a variable here that I'm not like I don't see you told me that OG is a given, right? Like
that's easy.
And even OG said he'll be back, like he's following their orders and he definitely is, you know, looking to get back as soon as he can. Like he said all the right things last week. And so that part you're like, all right, he's coming back at some point and you know already what you're getting with him. He's the put him in ink, he'll be back at some point. It's Randle that to me, because of the specter of the potential of surgery is still there. That's the one that I just think he's now all of a sudden, he's a variable. And here's why. It's not just getting him back. Okay, he avoided surgery. They cleared him to play. Good. But now what, Randle, are you getting?
I'm nervous now. I'm just worried to make sure he ain't got the Chris Webber shoulder. The Washington Wizards, Chris Webber.
Yeah, I remember that.
Shoulder out every other 2 weeks, just falling out.
Yep. Yeah. No, I mean, they'll probably put he'll wear the shirt. You know,
the harness, yeah, it's like a little
whatever
shirt,
that shirt is, yeah, it keeps it super tight. But you know, now all of a sudden, does it restrict some movement? Does it affect the way he shoots? Does it affect his ability to finish at the rim? Like, there's a lot of things.
Because that's what the Randall we got this year. We got the aggressive bully ball Randall.
He was playing so well down, like, for a good month and a half. He was playing really – I mean, that's how he earned himself an all-star appearance. I mean, his numbers were great.
This dude's starting to become Deebo Samuels, man.
Yeah, but then
– be smashing people and always getting hurt. Oh, Deebo hamstring. Like, come on, man. Damn.
Yeah. Well, you said that about Deebo too, right?
Yeah. Like, yo, like –
well, that leads us to the question now. Again, it's like, what are you getting? And so, you know, this has been a great year for the Knicks. They still have a chance to get to 50 wins, which would be an accomplishment. They could be a top four seed. That's important. First round at least.
We had him at four. We had him at four before the season started. Top four, maybe.
I thought they could be top four.
But now I thought that, you know.
Well, they could have
been. Once we've seen it, now that we've seen it, we got higher expectations. We expected two or three. Four would be a loss to us.
But again, what we saw is not something we're going to see again. That's the problem. The Randall injury makes you wonder if what we saw in January – I don't know if we're ever going to see that version of the team again because of the injury and because of how serious it is. Because if that, you know, if surgery wasn't the concern, then maybe you could argue it. But if he comes back and is compromised, you're not really going to see that version that we saw in January. You know what I mean? And so this becomes now the year of...
What a shame.
Like, yeah, this becomes that year where they could still be very competitive.
So they're the Lions yet. They're the Lions.
Maybe that's not a bad comp.
Like, you know what, they need a little bit more. But how do you tinker?
Oh, there's the squad. Well, that's this summer. Remember what Brian Windhorst told us about
because in football, the Lions got $60 million to go spend in free agency to upgrade, you know, the holes that they got.
And the Knicks have a ton of draft picks to do what they need to do.
Mm, so they rich. Ooh, he got money.
So maybe there's more to it. But there's still a lot of season to play, so we got to see where it goes. All right, 800-919-3776. Let's get the conversation going here. We also have football to get to because the NFL Combine begins today, and already a big target, and Bart, we kind of saw this one coming, a big wide receiver target that might have been out there is now off the table. T. Higgins, franchise tagged by the Bengals. Not a big surprise there. But a lot more to get to, so we got plenty to talk about, but we want to get the calls rolling, so let's do that next. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So plenty of high expectations for the Yankees this year. Earlier this morning on DPHR and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave kind of ran down some of the concerns for the team.
I think your concern lies with
second starter.
Yeah, I think with pitching behind Gerrit Cole. Yeah, I don't think it's just the second starter. I think, I mean, just in general, Gerrit Cole is probably the best pitcher in baseball.
Right.
Rodon was hurt and awful. Stroman's second half was bad. And then on top of that, you got Nestor coming back from being injured. He wasn't great even when he was healthy last season. Clark Schmidt was good. The Yankees have always figured out the bullpen. But I would say after Gerrit Cole is a concern, the offense is going to be better.
That shouldn't diminish the fact that the Yankees are going to win 95 games this season.
No, absolutely not.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew. Honey, during tonight's action, glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart. So, ironically, the Pistons are playing at the Garden tonight. And they were supposed to, this game was supposed to be in Detroit tonight. Mm-hmm. And you remember, like, the whole plan was I was going to be in Detroit. I'm calling the game tonight with Mike Breen, which is, again, just an awesome experience.
You could have got the best pizza out of all the cities.
Out of any city outside of New York, you mean? Yes.
No, New York, actually, I went to Philadelphia and ate one of their slices.
Don't.
Much better than New York.
Don't. But again, much better than wherever you've had pizza in New York.
No, bro. I've had pizza everywhere.
Everywhere.
Detroit's deep dish pizza is like a pie. I don't even know if you can call it a pizza. It's like a quiche.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a quiche. And the sauce is on the top. It's and like all the stuff pie. Is in
yeah,
the middle.
I know how that works. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I love deep dish.
But, no, it's like different. Deep dish is the wrong analogy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like pizza populace. The pizza, like the pizza weighs like 10 pounds. Like, you only can eat one slice.
Right. It's literally like a slice of actual pie.
Yes, exactly.
Like, in the middle, it's like a whole chunk of whatever you put in there, not just cheese.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then, like, I'm telling you, this piece, and I don't know what kind of cheese they use in Philadelphia off South Street. I forgot, it's a famous place. Tried it, like, maybe 2 weeks ago. Killing New York.
I wouldn't say killing New York, just it's good. You could say killing it's good. You don't have to say it's killing New York. There's incredible pizza in this city. It's incomparable.
The Joe's
Why
pizza,
do you think outside of New York, everywhere get, you go, it's like, hey, New York-style pizza. Yeah, of course.
Because of marketing.
Because of marketing?
It's like something's getting marketed like it's good, but then when you actually taste it, like Gino or Pat's, like you go there, it's like, yeah.
Well, but you know, not as much Pat's, but Gino's, as you know, is a tourist attraction. It's not really a great, you know, like
right.
Philly's. They're not getting good steaks there.
Right, right. The Whizwith. I'm not impressed. Chicago has something called
it. The Whizwith is not anything more than a
cheese.
Exactly.
But it's not good.
With
like
onions.
The Philly cheese I've had, I make better Philly cheese steak than I had in Philadelphia. I'll tell you what I had. Also, Chicago has this thing they call Italian beef. Oh, God.
What do you mean?
It's amazing. It's like this beef with like pickled carrots and like peppers and stuff in it, and they put like this au jus over it. Oh, my God.
Where'd you get that?
Chicago. Oh, my man. Yo.
It's called what?
Italian beef.
Italian beef what?
That's just what they call it, Italian beef. You just go there, in the hood, wherever you go.
You just go and say, give me Italian beef?
Yes.
And they just give you a plate of beef with carrots?
No, it's inside of a hoagie roll, like an Italian roll, man.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, you missed out on the Papados.
Okay. Well, I missed out on a lot of that.
Also, Lou's have a better corned beef and pastrami than Cats too. And this place in Cleveland has better corned beef than Cats.
Okay. That's not my thing, so never had to really worry about that comparison.
I've been around the world, man.
I know you have. And
been around America.
Well, anyways, we could have been in Detroit together, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, man.
But unfortunately, your team's here.
I could have took you to Sting.
I would have enjoyed just taking the tour, seeing the Detroit that Bart knows.
Sting on Michigan Avenue.
Mm.
Yeah.
800-919-3776.
I'm in love with a stripper. She riding, she rolling, she riding.
Let's get to the people. Derek in Brooklyn. Derek.
Yeah, how you doing? You hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
How you doing, Barton Allen? Man, I've been trying to get through for a minute. First of all, I'm a diehard, lifelong Jets and Knicks fan, so you two are probably one of the favorite guys in those histories for me, man. Appreciate and I appreciate it. Listening to you guys every day, man.
Cool.
But I wanted to make a comment about this Dennis Rodman, Draymond Green comparison.
Okay.
There's no comparison. First of all, Draymond Green, you talk about punchable face. He wouldn't be able to do the stuff he do in the NBA now that he did when Dennis Rodman played. That's number one.
Yeah, but Dennis wouldn't be able to do what he did in this era either. So you got to flip-flop it both ways.
Yeah, but that's because of the rules and the softness. That's another reason why you can't really compare because of how soft the NBA is today as opposed to the way they played back then. I'm 57 years old. I grew up watching basketball back then, so I know how they played as opposed to now. Also, people forget how well of a scorer Dennis was when he played with the Pistons. And yeah. He averaged about 30 points a game in college.
Yeah.
Nothing close to that for Draymond Green. And I just believe in the eras that they playing, and with that, it's no comparison. It's just not for me anyway.
I mean, it's closer than what we're trying to make it sound, but I would just give the nod to Dennis Rodman because I think he was the better overall player. Oddly enough, Draymond learned a lot of his stuff because he hung around those Pistons teams.
Probably.
He was at their practice when he was young. So that's how
Wait, what
Draymond
Pistons teams? The Ben Wallace ones.
The Ben Wallaces and the Rasheed Wallaces. They the ones. Mm-hmm. And you heard Rasheed Wallace talk about it on the podcast. Like, they had him around. They treat him like a little pit bull, get him all toughed up. And that's why, like, because he was trained by old school dudes that now he around these new school dudes, they can't handle the old school toughness. He just punked them because Draymond should have been checked.
He can.
Yeah, exactly. He should have been checked. Somebody should have been punched him in the face. Like, you notice, like, Ron Artest didn't bother. Like, you, Isaiah Stewart, won't no smoke. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he know who to grab.
Oh, no, of course.
He grabbed the Polyvu Francais dude that's light bread.
Yeah. I mean, that's usually how that stuff works because you know you can, and it sets that tone.
But it's like you almost have to have a goon on your team, like hockey. Who's the new 6, the 21-year-old for the Rangers that keep punching, keep fighting everybody?
Is it Rempe, right? Is that the name?
Yeah, he was like 21 years
old.
Did
I get that right?
Close enough.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a big kid. And everybody's challenging him now.
Exactly. Yeah, he
everybody
got to fight
is. And he's taking on all comers. Okay, you want to go now? Like, let's go. So he's got to do it. That's the way it is. But even that league, you don't have that anymore. And it was good to see him get a goal, by the way. That was nice. But you don't have that.
More fights than points.
Think about it. Think about this. The last Ranger, I saw this on the broadcast, the last Ranger to have a goal and a fight in a game. Like in his, I guess as a rookie maybe or something like that. Like it goes back to like the 90s. Like, damn, really?
Yeah.
So, anyways, but in the NBA, it's like anything, right? We've gone now, the pendulum's gone way too far the other way. And even like, how about, we didn't get to talk about this. Adam Silver was disgusted after that All-Star game, wasn't he?
Yeah, he threw up in the mouth. His mouth. How he handed out that trophy, he was so
scored
mad.
Scored a lot of points,
he was like,
I guess.
Scored enough points, I guess.
Like he was disgusted because, but this is, like, unfortunately, Adam has to know, and he probably knows it inside, that he's also the reason why it's gone this far. It went too much to where, okay, we want to get the rough stuff out because people don't want to see the game get nasty, and we of course you always worry about the malice of the pals. You worry about things getting ugly, but lately we're seeing guys push and shove again. It's getting a little nasty again. You saw that at the end of like the Nets didn't like what happened at the end of their game. There was some pushing and shoving that's gone on lately in games because of just stupid things like making a layup late. Like, stop it. What are you getting upset about that? But that's starting to get back into the game, and I think we're understanding that people kind of want to see it. I want to see that you care physically. You know, like the flopping, get that out of the league. Now let's get the physicality back into the league because you're starting to see players who are able to do whatever they want and get away with it, and they start preening. And the one thing that people don't – like, I think people will relate more to physicality than they will to preening. You know what I mean by that? Like when you show when you're able to just, you know, take like a jump, like a euro step and make like a layup and barely get touched and get the N1, and you just start flexing to the crowd, you know, people are watching it going like, dude, are you serious? Like, somebody would be punching you in the face right now. Like, why are you even doing that? Because I can. That's why. And so you want to take that stuff. Now you don't want it to go that far. And then you get an all-star game where guys are like, yeah, you know what? This is supposed to be our break. So, like, it's no longer a showcase for the league anymore. It's no longer, well, let's show out our game. Now it's just, well, this was supposed to be our break, so we really should be dialing it back anyway.
But the discouraging thing
is that?
The discouraging thing is when you hear that the night before the banquet that
Larry Bird
spoke to them and talked to them how important it is to play hard.
Like, sure.
And it's like a smack
good.
In his face.
Yeah, Larry, how's your back again? Yeah, okay. Like, that's what they'll do. Well, how's your back? How'd that feel? How'd that feel when you were 31 laying on the floor because you couldn't sit on the bench because your back was jacked?
Bro, that got nothing to do.
That's what they'll tell
him. That's from Larry. That's from Bill Laimbeer and everybody clotheslining his ass and grabbing him from the air.
Right, exactly. And then they'll say that too.
They ain't got nothing to do with competing in an all-star game.
I know. The biggest thing of All-Star Weekend, the best part of All-Star Weekend was Steph versus Sabrina. That's it. The league, that's all the league got out of
it. Yeah, and I think next year.
Everything else sucked.
I think next year they should take, like, you know, Caitlin Clark, they should put them in. It shouldn't be a sideshow. They should be in the actual competition.
I mean, Sabrina proved that you could, but the issue, of course, is I'm shooting from one line, you're shooting from the other.
No. She shot from the same line Steph shot from.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was the ball, right? That's what it was.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was the ball. I mean, let's switch the ball. So what?
Well, it does make a difference.
Let's switch the ball. And let's see.
Because mm-hmm. I got plenty of time to practice with the bigger ball. You want to do it? Do it.
Yeah, I think well, that'd be. I mean, I think that's equality.
But
right?
Wasn't I right that the home run derby is far surpassed the slam dunk contest now?
Yeah, I definitely said that.
Yeah, I said that the Friday before I left, and it held up.
And then I recycled it like it was my thought and took credit for it.
My man, that's what we do. Footprints.
You know what I'm saying, son?
Yeah, 800-919-3776. We got calls to get to. We'll get to those next. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Chicago has this thing they call Italian beef.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
You ain't gonna shout out Patrick Kane, man, and what he did, man, with them Red Wings, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, I tell you what, that was a storybook ending, wasn't it?
Yeah, man.
So Patrick Kane now plays for the Detroit Red Wings. They were playing at Chicago. His first game back in Chicago since he was traded, remember last year, was sent to the Rangers. And he had been through a lot of injuries and stuff. And so he didn't resign with the Rangers, but ended up in Detroit. So they're playing. It's overtime, 3-on-3. He was on
Chris Chelios night.
My man was – yeah, that's right. Chris Chelios was honored. My man was goal hanging, and he gets a breakaway and just – I mean, absolute just
– He was in no hurry either.
He didn't have to be. 3-on-3, you got plenty of time. So he does – but then he turns to the crowd. Real showmanship too, right? Come on, give it to me. And they went nuts for him. Kind of cool. But did you see also earlier in the game, Connor Bedard threw a hit on him, the kid? Yeah.
But that's what's up, though.
That was awesome.
The kid, little as hell, too.
Good, yeah, he is. But it's good theater, all of it. Well, so is Patrick. Patrick's not a very big person.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, come on, man.
But he's a megastar, though.
Do you really want this smoke, Bedard? You want to come after your
Think about it. There was a time Chicago had Derrick Rose and Patrick Kane. Like, you talk about a time in that building. I mean, at least the Blackhawks are winning cups.
Yeah.
But there was like that. The Bulls and the Blackhawks at one time in that little era were, you know, that was a show.
Where does the Blackhawks rank? It's like, you know.
What?
Because they had their time, right? Mm-hmm. And then they go away. They come back. They're like shingles. You know what I'm saying?
Excuse me?
They're like shingles. Like, shingles can flare up and then they go away. You know, they've been successful. Then they go, you know, whatever.
I don't know if I'd want to make that comparison, but anyway, this is what it sounded like.
Look out here.
Look at this.
Wide
look
open.
At this.
From center ice. It's Patrick Kane in Chicago.
Oh, my. Oh, my God.
Kane with the overtime winner. The Red Wings win it 3-2. The story is complete.
How do you like that?
Yo, hockey announcers, man, they be they the best, man. They go all in. Like,
I love the fact
they lay it on thick.
Even the analyst couldn't hold himself back. How about this? How about it? Can I make the call?
Right, like, man. That's my turn, bro. That's not your line.
Yeah, it's not your line, bro. 800-919-3776. Our boy Arsenio in the car has an interesting question. Arsenio.
So I do actually agree with you that if the Knicks would have beat the Celtics, it would have been more telling on the Celtics, yep. Especially with all the injuries.
Oh, yeah.
But I have an interesting take here for you. I want to hear you what you guys think about this. Oh, let's say Randle does have a setback. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now they say he's done for the year.
Yep.
Surgery.
Yep.
I'm going to sing a song for you guys. I won't even name the player, but you'll know who it is.
Don't do it.
I'm coming home.
No,
I'm coming home.
It's like the Wendy's commercial. Don't do it. No.
It's the world.
No. Ask. I'll answer for Carmelo Anthony for you. Hell no. Carmelo is done. Done. He is done. Done. He is done. He is done. He is done. He is done. He had a wonderful time here. He is beloved. He's getting all the flowers he deserves. But Arsenio, there is no chance that Carmelo Anthony is your answer to what if Julius Randle can't play the rest of the season. That's not like OG Anunoby is your four now.
Yeah,
if that's the case, it's OG at the four and Precious Achiuwa has played great. But the whole notion that let's go back in time and see if Carmelo is he has a great podcast. He's having a great post career. That's not going to happen. Sean on the Van Wick. How are we moving on the Van Wick, Sean?
Oh, man, that reminds me of that
oh,
that
man, there's a lot of accidents on this right now, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there was like the Van Wick's busy right now, but
always
I got over here. I'm actually on the Sunrise. I'm heading to East Rockaway.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. So, to quote the man with the greatest hairline in the world, I got one word to describe Bart's comments on pizza. Blasphemy.
Yeah.
Bro, have you tried?
It was ass-a-9, ass-a-10, ass-a-11.
Have you tried the one in 50? I mean, have you tried the one in Philadelphia? I forgot. They give you a slice.
It was so good, he can't remember where he had it. Think about that, Sean. It was so good, he can't remember the place he ate it at. Because normally when you eat something that is so good, what do you first do? You're like, yo, I got to come back here.
No, 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 no.
What's the name of this place? Yeah, I can't forget this.
No. Somebody took me there, and they was like, you got to try this piece, right? So like they just gave it to me. We were walking. We left, like, before I bit it. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Listen, I'm impartial. I just call balls and strikes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, have you ever had
yeah, but you can be impartial and just call balls and strikes, but you could also be just miss the zone completely. Like, nah, it doesn't mean that.
Have you ever had deep dish pizza from Detroit?
Sean.
Yes, I've had deep dish pizza from Detroit, but I've never had a
pizza
from Philly. You're the first one to actually, like, whoa, Philly
I've
got
never
pizza.
Heard anybody tell me Philly pizza is worth the time.
Yo, I didn't know. It's a place off South Street, man. You know, South Street got all these sex shops and stuff, but. Like,
love
you look
South
up and you
Street,
see a pizza.
South Street's always the vibe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't know, man. Listen, I was just like, all right, whatever. Like, somebody, oh, I grew
go
up
go get
here,
your freak on and then get some pizza. I mean, like, what else are you doing?
Well, that's usually how it go, right? That's usually a great chaser after you, lost all them calories.
Is pizza really the best chaser, is it? Sean, thank you. Safe driving. Pizza, the best chaser?
I mean, a nice little
I don't know
snack.
If I'm feeling like a meal after or something like that. Like, usually you just kind of want to keep it light, don't you?
I work I was assuming you work up an appetite, huh?
I mean, later.
Depending on how much work you're putting in, huh?
It's been a while, man. I'm an old man now.
I need.
We don't rock like that, you know.
I need some juice.
Mm,
Get him some juice.
Go Let me ask you a question. Juice. Is the name of the place Angelo's?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you know so or think so?
I think so, yes. It's on South Street, yes. Yes, Angelo's.
I have somebody whose food opinions I have a high regard for.
Okay. It's like it's, they had this and cheese that
he
wouldn't.
He suggested
like,
to me that
it,
it's probably
it
named
away.
Angelo's.
Yeah. Yeah, yo, it was off the chain.
It's on it's South like, Street.
Yeah, it's, the pizza is so big, they got to give you two plates, and then it covers two plates, and you eat it off the plate. Mm. And it's thin, though, too. That's why when it was so chewy, I didn't get it. I'm like, what kind of cheese is this?
Okay. All right. Now, see, now, next time I'm in Philly,
yo,
I got to check that out.
And it's like, it's not a sit-down place. You get it and you got to leave.
Most places on South Street is not, right? Like, usually, yeah. Usually it's you just go up to the window.
Yeah.
Whatever yo. It is, right? Okay.
Yo, it's.
To me, the best pizza places are the ones that, like, what do they have? Like, maybe two round tables with, like, two chairs. You don't want to sit in them too long because you hear them creaking. Those yeah. are the best ones. They have a yeah. counter, and then that's it.
Yo, it was amazing, bro. Okay. I didn't even know.
All right. All right, so maybe that's the place. 800-919-3776. But I tell you what, though, there are some places in New York City that if they're listening, they're going to need to send Bart some pizza. Cause,
it better not be Joe's, because I'm disappointed in that.
Joe's. Joe's Pizza.
Yeah, it's supposed to be famous.
Who do you think pizza. There are more Joe's or Tony's Pizzas in New York? Like, which place? Right, if Joe, I had Tony. To look at, if you Googled it, or if there ever was, like, the Yellow Pages back in the day, like, how
I
many Joe's versus
Anthony's.
How many Tony's?
I would maybe say Anthony's.
Well, Tony. That's usually Tony okay. is short for Anthony. Tony's Pizza, there has to be a million of those, right?
It's just one place I can't find anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I was on TikTok, and I went there.
Yeah.
And, you know, my daughter, she likes to go check out stuff on TikTok.
Yep.
And it was down in the Lower East Side, man. And the people there were from they weren't Italian, and they were they're from Lafayette or something, man.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yo, I bit that piece like, oh my goodness! Wow. I went back there three other weeks.
The crust usually went into those guys.
They had
the
this hot honey. It was like this hot honey, yep. jalapeno and pepperoni, man. I'm like, yo, son.
Oh,
and
the thing,
it was so skinny. Like they you couldn't get liquor there. You had to bring your own. And, like, they only had wine that you can get there. And mm-hmm. then they had this green gnocchi, pesto gnocchi as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, yo, yeah. that hot pizza, and I tried to find it last week, and I couldn't find it.
They're gone? Or you just couldn't find the spot?
I couldn't remember the spot, man. I tried to go TikTok, so I just kind of went through old messages, and I was close, but I couldn't find it, man. It's like crack.
All right, well, let's get more calls. We'll get more calls going here in the second hour. 800-919-3776. On the Knicks, of course, as they play the Pistons tonight and just try to get back in the winning column once again while
PJ
still
Tucker
fighting through the injuries.
Fat.
But also the NFL Combine beginning today and some news already on the wide receiver front. As you know, when the Combine begins, it's not just about the draft. Now the business starts to pick up. So we'll discuss that with you as well. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. The Knicks back in action tonight as they face off against the Pistons. Plenty of high expectations for the Knicks. How deep can they go in the playoffs? Earlier this morning on DPH and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said, that'll depend on whether or not Julius Randle is back with the team.
And Anunoby comes back and is healthy. Mitchell Robinson comes back and is healthy. Brunson, you got Burks, you got Bogdanovich, you got Hartenstein, but you don't get back Julius Randle. The upside for this team is what?
Upside, I think you win a first-round playoff series.
So you think the maximum you can do is get to the second round?
I don't think you get to the Eastern Conference Finals without Julius Randle.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.